Good morning. It's good to see each one of you here this morning. Hope you come seeking a blessing from the Lord. I've got a card here from Brother Floyd. It says, "Dear church family, I want to thank all of you for the prayers, cards during my time away for surgery. It is a family like you that makes life very special, and there is no words that can truly express how much you all mean to me. God bless you all, and truly this is straight from my heart, Brother Floyd Poplin." We want to continue to pray for Brother Floyd in his recovery, and that he'll get back with us pretty soon. Also pray for our pastor and Miss Teresa. Of course, Silas and Leona sort of shared the blessings that they had. Of course, with us going through this time of COVID and flu, I mean, you don't know what you're going to get, whether you're going to get COVID or whether you're going to get the flu or this stomach bug that's going around. These three things going around, it's pretty rough right now. So just be vigilant and try to stay away from it if you can. Continue to pray for Brother Hunting and his recovery there. And pray for Brother Derek and his upcoming surgery, and pray that the Lord will take care of him there. And by all means, pray for our leaders. You know, I don't agree with the ones that's up there, but the Lord does say to pray for them, and we need to. And hopefully they'll get back to the Lord and listen to Him and let the Lord lead us in what we should do. And pray for the Ukrainian people there. They're having a real hard time, as you know, by looking at the news and all that that's going on there. But pray for them as well. And don't forget our revival on the 4th, 5th, and 6th of next month with Brother Knox, and be in prayer for that. And at this time, we'll just get Brother Russell to come and lead us in a congregational. So all of you, get your book and stand, and we'll...
Okay, let's all stand up, grab your hymnal, turn to number 376. Number 376. We'll sing all four verses. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So let's sing it out all the way through. Here we go. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. On the last one, here we go. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Before you sit down, flip over to number 343. I had to look and see what number. Number 343. Kind of a little short song. I love this. Close to Thee. Close to Thee. And we'll sing the same thing. We'll sing all the way through. Just three of the verses. So here we go. Let's sing it out. Thou my everlasting portion, more than friend or life to me. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with Thee. Close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with Thee. Not for ease or worldly pleasure, nor for fame my prayer shall be. Gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with Thee. Close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee. Gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with Thee. Lead me through the veil of shadows, bear me o'er life's fitful sea. Then the gate of life eternal, may I enter, Lord, with Thee. Close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee. Then the gate of life eternal, may I enter, Lord, with Thee. Amen. All right, you can be seated.
We do want to remember prayer rooms this afternoon at 5:45, and also tonight's service at 6 o'clock, and then Wednesday night service at 7 o'clock. And don't forget to just take care of your missions offerings. The missionaries need their support very much now. Of course, you've noticed if you went to the grocery store or anywhere to buy something, all the prices on everything are going up, and that puts an extra hardship on them as well. So don't forget that. And this time I'll let Brother Russell and Miss Wendy come for the special.
There came a sound from heaven, like a mighty rushing wind. It filled their hearts with singing. It gave them peace within. descend, and from your inner being, a river with no that frees the soul from sin. Come to this water. There is a vast supply. There.
We should all thank the Lord for that river because it never does run dry. He's there for us 24 hours a day. It's a privilege to have Brother Hawkins with us today from Rock of Ages, and I'll turn the service over to Brother Hawkins and let him close in whatever way the Lord leads.
Thank you, brother. Amen. Well, let me say it is good to be here this morning, and I do thank the Lord for the opportunity. I know that it's not necessarily a good opportunity to pastors under the weather, but I appreciate the Lord giving me an opportunity to be with you folks and preach. My name is Thomas Hawkins. I'm a full-time missionary with Rock of Ages, and I'm sure y'all folks are familiar with Brother Rick Hildebrand, right? Y'all know Brother Rick Hildebrand, and I've been in prison with him many times. I hope that sounds good. We go to preach in prison, and I appreciate Brother Rick and Miss Judy. I appreciate your pastor, and appreciate all you do for our ministry, the Rock of Ages, and we're excited about what God is doing through our ministry, and I would ask you to pray. I've been with Rock of Ages now 7 years, and my family usually travels with me. My wife's name is Stephanie, and then we have three children, Vivian, Isolina, and Garrison, and they're not with me today. They're over at Tabernacle Baptist Church, but I thank the Lord for my family. But I would ask you to pray for us this week, Lord willing. On Wednesday, me and three other Rock of Ages missionaries will be going over towards Raleigh, and then Thursday morning, we'll be dropping off 2,108 Bibles, and they are going to be going to the North Carolina Highway Patrol, and that should cover every highway patrolman in the state of North Carolina. And so y'all pray for us as we do that. Lord willing, tomorrow I'll be headed to Tennessee to help a missionary there, and then we'll be transporting those from Tennessee to Burlington on Wednesday, and then from Burlington into Raleigh. And so pray for that. That's one of the things we've been working on recently, and so pray the Lord to bless that as we travel there. And again, thank y'all for allowing me to be here today. If you have your Bibles, if you will, turn to the book of Luke this morning, Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10 this morning, and I just want to read some verses here and then preach the thought the Lord has laid on my heart this morning. Luke chapter number 10. This message is a second message, really, in a series that the Lord has kind of laid on my heart about learning some things from the Bible. My first message that I preached in the series was entitled, Lord, Teach Us to Pray. And it's a thought about learning how to pray from a biblical perspective. And this lesson, or this message, is entitled, A Lesson in Compassion. A lesson in compassion. And I think about the day and age in which we live in, especially believers, we need to learn how to be compassionate people. And we need to have a heart for those that are hurting. And so hopefully this message will help you this morning. We'll begin reading in verse number 25. The Bible says, And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Now this lawyer has stood up and he's tempting the Lord Jesus. He said, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Verse 30, the Bible says, And Jesus answering, said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, when he came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. And and the Lord says in verse 36, Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for the day. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach. Lord, I thank you for this congregation and this pastor, Lord, that you've established here in Salisbury, North Carolina. Father, I do pray today, Lord, for the pastor. I pray, God, that you'd help him in his physical ailments and his physical needs there, Father. I pray for this church. May you continue to bless them and help them to grow today, Father. I pray today that you'd please empty me of myself. Lord, you'd fill me with your Spirit. Father, I pray you'd remove the nerves that I feel, Father, and help me to do what you've called me to do, and that is preach your word. Lord, I pray today as we look at these scriptures, may you help us today that we might learn a lesson in compassion. Thank you now for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. In Luke chapter number 10, verses 25 through 27, we have the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, if you know, a parable is basically an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The Lord Jesus many times would use parables to illustrate a point or to teach us a lesson or those that were present. In verse 25, the Lord is confronted by a lawyer. And the lawyer is asking a question regarding eternal life. The Bible says, What shall I do to inherit eternal life? That was the question that the lawyer asked him. Now, on most occasions, I would say that's a good question. I think there are many today that would ask the question, What do we do that we might have eternal life? And I'm thankful today, those of us that are born again, we have that answer. We have the answer to obtaining eternal life. Maybe not physical life, but eternal spiritual life, that one day when we're resurrected, we'll receive that glorified body and we'll live forever with the Lord. But on this occasion, I see that this question is not necessarily a good question. I believe the lawyer asked this question in selfishness. He said, What shall I do? His question was not concerned with others, but it was focused on himself. I see that this was an inward mindset. Let me say this morning that real Christians should not have an inward mindset. We as believers should have an outward mindset. An outward mindset is something that Christ has. Why? Because Christ is our great example of a servant. You see, Christ looked beyond himself when he went to the cross and he gave himself a sacrifice for us. As the Lord Jesus in his earthly ministry would set a great example of a servant and an outward mindset when he would wash the disciples' feet at the final supper there. Then also as Christ, after the resurrection, there by the seaside, would prepare a meal for his disciples. You see, the Lord had an outward mindset. He had a desire to help and to see others helped. Those of us that are born again today, we need to realize that our mindset should not be focused on how can we be helped, but how can we help others? How can we encourage others? How can we get others to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm going to be honest with you this morning. Many times I don't have this mindset. I think about on a daily basis, often on my daily basis, I think about what I need to do and where I need to go and what do I need to take care of. Many times I miss out opportunities maybe to help my wife or help my children or help a fellow neighbor that is in need because I'm too focused on my need and what I have to do and responsibilities I have. I think many times in my mind, I need to learn to say, listen, how can I help someone else? What can I do to lighten another's burden? As we look at verse 25, we see the man's question was not genuine. Because in verse 25, we see that he asked the question, tempting or testing the Lord. The word tempted in that verse means to prove, to test, or to proof of God's character or power. In other words, he was challenging who the Lord was. He was challenging his position as Messiah and his position as the Son of God. You see, this man was not really genuinely interested in how to inherit eternal life. He was doing a lot like the Pharisees and like a lot of others did. He was trying to find a way to trip up the Lord or cause the Lord to be confused. Verse 26, Jesus asked the man a question. He says, What does the law say concerning this matter? In verse 27, the Bible says, Jesus asked this question, and we see this man answers this question. Now let me say this, a lawyer in the Bible was somebody who interpreted Old Testament law. In other words, this man knew the question or the answer to his own question. He was somebody who was a student in the written scripture, and he understood what the Bible says about loving his neighbor and about what he must do to inherit eternal life. I say again, the man's question was not genuine, but it was challenging the Lord, and he was questioning his authority. The man knew the following verses. If you were to look in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5, the Bible says this, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might." He knew that in order to inherit eternal life, in order to be right with God, he had to love the Lord his God with all his heart, all his soul and might. Then in Leviticus 19:18, the Bible says this, "Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." These were the two Old Testament laws that the Jews lived by. And their goal was to keep the commandments. The Jewish goal was to keep the commandments. They were trying to earn or gain salvation. Now let me say this morning, you cannot gain salvation. Salvation is by grace through faith. And we must believe on the Lord Jesus. But the law was given to show us sinners. I don't know about you, but I have never been able to keep the law. Have you? I've never been successful in even keeping the Ten Commandments in my heart. And I think about how the law, what does it do? It shows us our sin. It shows us our need for a Savior. And I'm thankful that Savior is Jesus Christ. Verse 28, Jesus tells the young man that he had answered the question right. In fact, he says, "This do, and thou shalt live." The young man had given the Lord all the right answers. We see here in verse 29, again, this man's motives. He says, "But he willing to justify himself." In other words, this man was trying to say, "I'm good enough," or "I have enough good works to be right with the Lord." You ever heard somebody say, "Me and God have an understanding"? Have you ever heard somebody say, "Oh, I'm all right with the Lord. I've done all of that"? Many people try to justify themselves or make themselves better than what they actually are. And even in the Bible, we see here that there were men and women who were trying to justify their position with God, even though they knew in their hearts they weren't right with the Lord and they needed something else besides what they had. In verse 29, as we said, he was trying to justify himself. Again, this man has a selfish or an inward mindset. Look here, he says in the latter part of verse 29, "And who is my neighbor?" Can we see the arrogance in this man's question? He being a Jew lifted himself up in pride. He being a lawyer understood the law. And he was trying to make himself better than what he really was. The following verses, as we look at this morning, we see that the Lord is going to give this young man a lesson in compassion. You see, the word compassion means a suffering with others. It means painful sympathy or pity. The showing of mercy to another who is suffering or in sorrow. I say this morning that we live in a world today where there are many people who are suffering. Wouldn't you agree? There are many people who are in sorrow. There are many people who are struggling. And they don't need someone necessarily to go beat them over the head. But they need somebody to extend a helping hand and to show love and to show mercy and to show compassion. Let me say this morning that most men and women that are lost understand they're lost. They understand they're sinners. They just don't know what the answer or what they need in order to have those sins forgiven. We as believers need to realize that it would do better for us to point them to the Savior by showing love and by showing mercy and by showing compassion to them, that we might pull them out of the fire, that we might show them the way of salvation through the love of the Lord Jesus. For the remainder of our time this morning, I would like us to walk with the lawyer to the classroom and receive a lesson in compassion. First of all, this morning, I see in verse 30, I see the need for compassion. We notice the Bible says, and Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, and which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. The Lord Jesus introduces us to a certain man, and we see that we really don't know much about this individual. We don't know if this individual was on a business trip. We don't know if this individual was wealthy. We don't have a lot of information on this individual. The Bible does tell us that as he is on his way down I-85 south out of Jerusalem, he's headed to the town of Jericho. He's looking to make that city there. Let us observe quickly what happens on the highway. First of all, the Bible tells us that he fell among thieves. I begin to study on that, and the phrase fell among means to fall into as to be compassed. I see that this young man was surrounded by the enemy. When a person falls, it is not often on purpose. It usually happens all of a sudden, doesn't it? Y'all can shake your head like this. I think about a time that I fell down. I remember one time I blowed my right ankle up. I mean, I blowed it up. We were at Vacation Bible School there at the church that I grew up in, and I had taught the guys how to play zone defense during the football game. Man, we were like the 86 Bears, man. They wasn't doing nothing on us. And I was the guy in the middle, and I was walking up the field, and man, I was pumping. We was having a good time, and you know what I did? I stepped in a hole. And down I went. And when I went to get up, there wasn't no getting up. And I remember crawling off that field. I couldn't even walk. I crawled off the field as the guys laughed and my wife laughed and my ankle swelling up and all of that. Did I fall on purpose? Absolutely not. I didn't want to fall down. I didn't want to blow up my ankle. I wanted to play the game. I wanted to enjoy what was going on. But I fell down. You know, when somebody falls, it's often not on purpose. I say this. As this man was going along life's way, out of nowhere, trouble came. Not only did it come, but it surrounded him. There was nowhere for him to run. There was no way for him to avoid this situation. He was there, and as the late John Madden says, pow! Trouble blindsided him. I began to think about that. In Job 14 and verse 1, the Bible says this, man that is born of woman is a few days, and what? Full of trouble. This verse is true and very real today. Our lives are few in days, but full of trouble. Let me warn you this morning, beware of the individual who says they have no trouble in life because they're a liar. You say, preacher, that's hard. That's hard, but it's the absolute truth. I remember several years ago an individual who used to say that he had been married a long time, and he made this statement. He said, me and my wife have never had a fight. We've never had any trouble. Now, do I believe that individual? Absolutely not. And if you're here today and you and your wife have never had any trouble or never had any fight, please let me talk to you after church. I want to know how you did it. Because why? Life is a few days and full of trouble. I think about as we leave the building today, it wouldn't take very long for many of us to find trouble coming our way. As we go through the week, there's going to trouble come our way in our lives. I see that this man was in trouble. I see that there was an issue here, and it was unavoidable trouble. Many times in life when we see people who are hurting, maybe they've fallen into sin, maybe they've fallen away from the things of God, we're quick to judge them. But understand this, we could be that same individual very quickly. It wouldn't take much. We see that he fell among thieves. Then we see he was stripped, wounded, and left. He was down for the count or total destruction. Consider his humiliation. The Bible says he was stripped. Sometimes situations in life are humiliating for an individual. You talk about many men and women in our world today that are in trouble. A lot of times they're in trouble and they don't know how to get out because the situation is too humiliating to seek help. They don't want nobody to know about it. I think about many of the men that I deal with in institutions and prisons. A lot of times they're humiliated by what they've done, and they really don't know how to reach out and seek help and seek someone to pull them out of that situation because they fear they're going to be judged. I think about how that he was wounded. Consider his wounds, wounded. What one of us have not been wounded in life? Consider his loneliness. They had departed from him. Christians are the world's worst at leaving their own in their own ranks in suffering. Many times when an individual falls, or many times when somebody knows, we know, makes a mistake, we're quick to just cast them off and leave them there in the gutter instead of going to them trying to help that individual. Sometimes trouble in life will leave us in the same situation. If we're not careful, we'll fall into sin, or some other trouble comes, or maybe we react in a bad way, or life just happens and we find ourselves stripped, wounded, and lonely. I'll be honest with you, there's things that's happened in my life where I have been wounded, where I have been humiliated because of maybe something I have done, and it's been hard to work through those things. Then we see also the need for compassion. His life was in the balance. The Bible says they left him half dead. This means that he was half dead. That's exactly what it means. His life was in the balance. If somebody did not come to this man's aid, he was going to die there by that roadside. Think of all those people in our world today whose spiritual lives are in the balance. Lost men's souls are between what? Heaven and hell. Their eternity is in a balance just like this man's life. Hey, there's a need for compassion. Why? Because lost men and women in this world, their lives are in the balance. They're teetering on the edge of eternity and spending that eternity in a place called hell. I think about there's a need for compassion because of the Christian. Saved men and women, souls are secure in Christ. Yes, their eternity is set. Yes, however, their service could be in jeopardy. Christians who struggle or are under attack or even have fallen, their walk and their testimony is in the balance. I guarantee you, everybody in this room today, if you've been a Christian for any long period of time, you've knew somebody who was serving the Lord and trouble came their way and they've been wounded and now they've been left by the wayside and their lives are ruined. And the sad thing is, many times we don't go to them and help them. We're all one trial away, one sin away, one struggle away from falling by the roadside. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12 says this, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Listen, you think that you are in a position where, oh, I'll never fall, I'll never make a mistake. There's no trial that's big enough or hard enough that would cause me to get out of church or cause me to get out of the will of God. You better be careful this morning. I think about a child learning to walk. There'll be times when they think they've mastered walking and down the road or down the sidewalk they'll go and all of a sudden they'll lose that balance and you'll watch that child fall down. I think about my son last night, 3 o'clock in the morning, I hear a boom. You know, I'm like, what was that? Then all of a sudden I hear a whimpering. I get up and I walk in the bedroom and there's my son sitting up in the bed and he's got blood all over one of his hands. And I'm like, what? No blood on the pillow? I'm like, what? I fell out of the bed. I'm thinking, I figured he got that mastered in 4 years, but I guess not. You know, I think about how that he fell. You know, how easy would it be for us in our Christian life to be like my son and just fall out of it and just make a mistake there? We see that this shows us the need to show compassion. This man was in real trouble. His situation was not going to improve without help. Let us realize today that our world is in real trouble and the situation is not going to improve unless someone is willing to show compassion. We may not understand why that person is in that situation, but we don't need to. We don't need to know all the details, why somebody made a mistake, why somebody fell by the wayside, but we need to see their situation and do everything we can to help them. As we go into the institutions, one of our do's and don'ts, and I don't know if Brother Hildebrand's ever talked about this or not, we go over about 20 things that you do in prison and you don't do in prison. And one of those do's and don'ts that we do is we say we never ask what they did to get them there. Why? I don't need to know. I just need to see a sinner that needs to be saved. I need to see a Christian that needs to be encouraged. Notice, secondly, not only the need for compassion, but notice the example of compassion. Verses 31 through 33, Jesus now introduces to us a Samaritan man. After two religious men pass over, we see the hero of the story, the Samaritan. Observe this man's example of compassion. First of all, we see his vision. In verse 33, the Bible says that as he journeyed, he came to where he was and saw him. Now, if you will, think about what this man saw. It was not pleasant to look at. There by the roadside was a wounded stripped man hanging between life and death. It was not a pretty picture that this Samaritan saw. The Samaritan knew nothing of the man's situation. He did not know if this man had been beaten and robbed. He did not know if this man was maybe fleeing from the law. He did not know if this man had been wounded by a wild animal. He just saw him. I began to think about what an example that was. You see, we need to just see people. Our world is full of sin. Our world is full of wicked people. Yes, our world is scarred and marred by the wickedness of mankind. Yes, there are wicked motives and desires to harm and destroy. But understand this, they're just people. They're fallen brothers and sisters, or they're sinners who are in trouble in need of salvation. Today, Christians need to quit qualifying who we will help win to the Lord and just win people to the Lord. We need to quit looking at the mess that is made by the trouble of life and see that person. No doubt there's been those that have come to this church and they've sat on these pews and they've worshiped here and maybe something happened in their life and now they're out of the will of God and their life's a mess. And we look and oftentimes we see the mess instead of seeing that person that needs our help. I think about those at Tabernacle, the church I go to. There are men and women that have come and sit on that pew and they've worshiped and they've served the Lord, but they've got out of the will of God and their life's a mess. And if I'm not careful, I see the mess instead of the individual. I say we need to have His vision. Think about those that, even myself as a missionary, there have been times that I have been attacked because people say, why are you going to those rapists and those murderers and those robbers and all of those people? Why are you giving their time to that? Let me say this. Jesus saves the wildest to the mildest. He looks just to save that sinner. Then I see not only His vision, but I see His heart. Verse 33, it says He had compassion on him. Compassion means, as we've already stated, suffering with others, painful sympathy or pity. This phrase, had compassion, means that He was moved in His heart to show this man compassion. As I think about this morning, this man, this means that his inward man, his heart was moved with pity and love toward this individual. The Samaritan not only helped out of obligation, but he helped because he was moved from his heart. He saw the sorrow, the hopelessness of the situation, and it moved him. I say this morning that we need our hearts moved again, don't we? My heart needs to be moved with compassion. Local churches' hearts need to be moved with compassion. There may be those that you've tried to help and maybe they've rejected it and you still see the sorrow and the struggle. Listen, allow your heart to yet again be moved with compassion toward that individual. Think about in Lamentations 2 and verse 18, the prophet Jeremiah says, my eye hath affected my heart because of all the daughters of my city. Jeremiah's heart was moved because of what he saw. He saw the judgment of God and it moved his heart. He allowed his heart to be touched with the destruction he saw. We've lost compassion because we see so much. Our minds are bombarded with sorrow and we have become hard-hearted towards the needs of others. I think about media in the day and age in which we live in. There is no good news whatsoever on the TV as far as I know. And we're constantly bombarded with the negative. And we're constantly bombarded with all the images of war and all the images of the struggles of our own nation. And I think about how that we have become hardened to that instead of becoming sensitive to the needs of others. This morning, my wife read a prayer letter from one of our missionaries that's in the country of Romania. And they begin to talk about the refugees coming out of Romania. And I'll be honest with you, there was a moment that my heart was touched with sorrow because of what those people were experiencing. Then not only see his heart, but I see his action. Jesus now gives us this man's action. What he did to show compassion or help this poor man. Notice he went to him. You think about the cost that it cost this man. The Samaritan, it cost him something. He had to delay his own trip. He had to stop what he was doing to help. When's the last time we stopped or delayed something to show somebody compassion? Hey, listen, if we're going to show compassion to others around us, whether it's our family, whether it's lost world, whether it's people that we know that have maybe ruined their lives, we're going to sometimes have to stop what we're doing and take and spend time on that for a little while. We're going to have to shift our focus a little bit and look to say, you know what? I'm going to have to put in extra effort and go to them. You know, it's easy. You know what a lot of Christians say? I'll pray for them. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. That's a good thing. You ought to pray for them. Sometimes we might need to put a little feet to those prayers and extend that helping hand, extend that invitation, extend whatever it is God would put in our heart to help that individual. Then the Bible says he bound up and treated his wounds. This cost him something. Oil and wine were not cheap commodities, if you will. Sometimes reaching those in need will require us giving. It will cost us something. As a missionary, we spend a lot of time and effort and money reaching the world with the gospel. But I think about individuals on church pews. Hey, listen, it's going to cost you something if you're going to be effective in reaching those that are harmed and destroyed and hurt. The Bible says he placed him on his own beast. He had to set aside his own comfort to help this man. He had to leave his comfort zone to reach those in need. Sometimes it may take us leaving our comfort zone that we might go in and show that compassion that God would have us to show. Then the Bible says he brought him to safety. He got him away from where he was. He got him to a safe place. We need to get people to a safe place. You say, what's a safe place? The house of God. The Sunday school classroom. Around godly people. I think about an individual right now. My wife is trying to help a certain individual. And I'll be honest with you, she's very difficult to deal with. And she's extremely lost and she's extremely involved in some things. And my wife is trying to reach her. But one of the things that my wife is doing is my wife, every opportunity she gets, she carries her to church. Whether it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whether it's a ladies' meeting. A few weeks ago, my wife carried this young lady to a sewing class that our church had. You say, why a sewing class? She's just trying to get her around good, godly people. It may be that we need to just get that individual around good, godly people. Not that we agree with what they're doing. Not that we are okay with how they live their lives. But listen, it's going to take us getting them away from that they might see light in order they might repent of those things and turn. Then it says he took care of him. He bound his wounds. He carried him safely. And still he stayed with him. Getting people out of the situation and bringing them to safety is the start. We need to learn to do more to help them, to stay with those people. Hey, listen, let me say something this morning. Many times when somebody gets right with the Lord, they need somebody to just stay with them a little while. I think about that child when they begin to walk. What do you have to do? You still have to hold that hand every now and again. Oftentimes, as Christians, we see somebody get saved, and that's wonderful, but we fail to take the extra steps to try to encourage them. We fail to take the extra steps to disciple them as we should and to stay with them. And then when we think, well, I'm done with them. They messed up. They just turned away. No, really go. Then I say, he also went the extra mile. Verse 35, it says he paid his bill and promised to pay for it if he needed to return. The extra mile is not easy, but sometimes it's necessary. Hey, listen, for us to show compassion, sometimes it may take us going above and beyond what we even begin to think that we were going to have to do. I think about all of these things he did. It was an inconvenience for this Samaritan man. It required him making sacrifice and all of these things. What sacrifice will we need to make in our lives to show compassion? What will be asked of us? And let me say this, and hopefully you know this, the Christian life is a life of sacrifice so that we might help others. It's not a life of getting, it's a life of giving. It's a life of giving self and time and effort and money and all of these things that we might help a lost world come to Christ. Then I see, lastly, in this lesson of compassion, I see the command for compassion. Christ concludes the parable with a question in verse 36. He says, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? He asks this question and then the answer comes. He says here, he that showed mercy on him. It was not the priest of verse 31. He was not even moved to even think about helping or showing compassion. It was not the Levite of verse 32, he thought about it. He at least came and looked, but he didn't take action. I think that's where a lot of people are. They're willing to think about it. They're willing to consider it, but they're not quite ready to take the action. But I see it was the Samaritan. It was the most unlikely of the three who would be moved with compassion, would take action, sacrifice, and go the extra mile. Notice now Jesus instructs the lawyer. He says, go and do thou likewise. Observe the final thought this morning. The little word, go. As I looked at the word in this instant, that word, go, means to pursue the journey on which one has entered. I began to think about that for a moment. Compassion in helping others is not a one and done event. It is an ongoing thing. For us to go to somebody and help them one time, that's a good thing, but that's just the start. I think about my life and men that have helped me multiple times. I think about the Steve Rollins, and you probably don't know Steve Rollins, but the help that Steve Rollins was me, the Bill Adams, how the help he was to me, even the Rick Hildebrands, the help that he was to me, and how that they have that compassion to try to help a young man go a little more and go a little more. It's an ongoing event. Listen, don't get the mindset, well, I've done my little part, I'm done with it, and try to walk away. No, keep going on in that journey. And when that individual is helped and they're standing on their own two feet, go find somebody else in the ditch. I think about in life, we will never get to the place where we've shown compassion to the last person in need. We need to find the next one in the ditch, the next one that has been wounded, the next one who is ashamed of their position, the next one who needs a ride, the next one who needs someone to go the extra mile. Then he says, do thou. This means to act rightly. Jesus is simply telling the lawyer, do the right thing. We have too many priests and Levites, and we need some Samaritans. We need someone to say, I will go, I will do. The attitude that someone else will help is a failed attitude. This week, each one of us will come in contact with someone who has been spiritually robbed. Someone who has been wounded, somebody who is left from dead. And I think about the need for us is that we might show them the compassion. Then we notice lastly the phrase likewise. The need has been shown. The example has been given. The challenge is to do likewise. This thought ended the conversation between the Lord and this lawyer. Why? There was nothing left to say. The lawyer knew what was required of him. He knew that in order to love the Lord thy God with all his heart, that he was going to have to love his neighbor as himself. And his neighbor was everyone that he come in contact with. His neighbor were those that things just did not look the best. And he needed to reach out and help those. You see, the Lord removed the excuses. You know, many times we offer excuses, don't we? Shake your head like this. I think about my own life. You know, the Bible says, what is it, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You know, a lot of people say that's their favorite verse, and it's a wonderful verse. But sometimes that's not my favorite verse in the Bible. You say, why? Because it takes away every excuse I want to give God. God says, go here. I don't know, Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Go witness to that. I don't know about that. I can do all things. You got to preach this morning. I don't know about that, Lord. Go. I can do all things through Christ. See, it takes away excuses. Let me ask this morning, will you allow the Lord to remove the excuses? Will you let the Lord end the argument in our heart to help others, that we might show compassion, that we might go out and do likewise? As I close this morning, again, we see here, hopefully, a lesson in compassion. And I ask you this morning, if you're saved and you know Christ as your personal Savior, maybe the Lord's laid somebody on your heart and you say, you know what? There's somebody I know that's in a ditch somewhere. There's somebody I know that's ashamed of maybe what's happened in their life. There's somebody I know that's been wounded a long life's way. You say, you know what? I need to go help them this week. I need to do something to extend compassion. I need to do something that I might get them off of that roadside, that I might help them get to a place of security and safety. And then maybe this morning I'm talking to the man that is in the ditch or the lady that's in the ditch. Maybe you've been wounded. Maybe you've been harmed. Maybe there's something in your life you're ashamed of. Maybe your life is in the balance this morning. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. I don't know how to close this morning because I'm not used to the church, but I'll ask a lady, if you'll play the piano this morning, If you will stand this morning, I just want to give a quick altar call. I'm not going to be long with it. But if the Lord spoke to your heart and you said, there's something, there's compassion that I need to, there's somebody I need to show compassion to, why don't you come and ask the Lord to help you with that? Ask the Lord to show you how to show compassion. And then maybe if you're lost this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior, I'll say this, the Lord has already showed great compassion. Why? The Bible says He died on the cross for the sins of the entire world. So every head bowed, every eye closed, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You for the liberty in preaching this morning. Father, thank You for this message that You've given us from the Word of God. Father, I pray this morning that we would take a lesson in compassion. Lord, that we might learn to extend a helping hand to those that have been wounded or harmed or fallen by the wayside. Father, I pray You'd help me to have my eyes open to the needs around us. Father, I pray for this church. You might bless and help them as well. Lord, I pray if one be lost, today would be the day of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. As she plays, if the Lord spoke to your heart, will you come this morning?
As Brother Russell sings a verse of his invitation, maybe you're like that man that fell among the thieves and you need
I
help.
I wonder how Christ is there waiting, best for Jesus,
wanting to help you.
Who died
you don't know him as your Savior. I beg you, please,
tree.
Take this opportunity to give your heart
to think of
him.
His great sacrifice. At Calvary, I know my Lord expects the best from me. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus when He has done so much for me? I wonder, have I cared enough for others, or have I let them die alone? I might have helped a wanderer to the Savior. The seed of precious life I might have sown. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus when He has done so much for me?
It's good to see each one of you here today, and hope that you'll take the message that we've heard and just glean on it for a while and let God just give you more of that message today. Thank you, Brother Hawkins, and if you will, just stand out there, sort of around where the map is. Go, Brian, and let him know how much you appreciated the message, and just be back tonight. Be in your place here tonight at 6 o'clock. Don't forget prayer rooms at 5:45, and just I'd like to see all of you back tonight. But let's go to the Lord in prayer as we're being dismissed. Lord, we do thank You for the message that we heard today. Lord, pray that You'd just help us to just glean on it from day to day, Lord, and just get what you have for us out of that, Lord. And I pray that you would just help us be a witness for you, Lord. And if we see one like the man that was talked about in the message, Lord, the one that fell among the thieves, and Lord, help us not to be the one that passes by, but the one that lends a helping hand to help him up. And Lord, we know that you have paid our debt. And Lord, give us opportunity of salvation. And I do thank you for saving me. And Lord, I pray that if there's one in the midst of us today, Lord, that don't know thee as their Savior, Lord, I pray that they'll seek someone out today before they leave here and get things right with you. Have your will and your way in our lives that we might live for you and bring us back tonight at the appointed time to hear what you have for us tonight. For it's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.